There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. This moment, I'm inclined to think you are not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 921. January 17th, 2022. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. I say the silence is deafening. Rumors are circulating. Will LCH do a baby comeback and drive? Or will the German team have a German driver with number 5? And this just came in a few hours ago. Le professeur is le pissed. Back to you, Monsieur Rogers.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Prost out at Alpine. Baltolu wins second round of the Renault Clio Ice Trophy in Andorra. ProDrive says Audi must be stopped immediately by the FIA. And LCH, binge-watching, run silent, run deep. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program up on the servers. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. Enjoying my three-day weekend and waiting for Action to start. We already have motorsports action with Dakar and other things going on. But you mentioned LCH. You know what they say, Mr. Rogers, when the lion is down, even the hyenas like to take a bite out of him. We are now in the second half of January and still not a word from LCH or from Toto if his numero uno will be racing this season. And this is getting good. We're getting some good Hungarian goulash from Ralf Schumacher. He was quoted as saying that his compadre Sebastian Vettel will be a good replacement for Lewis Carl Hamilton. Another name mentioned for the lucky seat is Esteban Ocon. He, as we all know, is driving for Alpine, but is part of Toto's Wolfpack and under Mercedes management contract. And we all know how solid as a rock these contracts are. Among other names mentioned, which I thought was funny, Pierre Gasly and then Daniel Ricciardo, which should be taken seriously. But we will see. Now, Damon Hill and Martin Brundle are of the opinion that LCH will be on the grid at the opening round in Bahrain in March, and I have to agree with them. There is too much at stake here. Chances of LCH getting number 8 are as high or as good as Max getting number 2, and definitely much better than Seb getting number 5 or Machismo getting number 3. Now, I say, Mr. Rogers, you may disagree with me, but with such a domination in both car and engine design in the hybrid era, plus the vast financial and technical resources available from the parent company Daimler AG, which stands for Aktien Gesellschaft, whatever that means, Mercedes F1 team should have the edge when the lights go out in Bahrain. The only thing Lewis has to fear is fear itself, because both he and Max are exceptional talent. To beat them, the competition will need a car which is clearly much faster, because these are not drivers who the Bottas, the Checos and Carlitos can beat if they take pole position by 0.2 of a second. Now, if somebody has a 1 second advantage, there's nothing Lewis or Max will be able to do but finish second or third. And on top of that, if George Russell is going to rattle LCH cage, that will by default also rattle the cage of Max, and this can turn the whole 2022 season into a very spicy season. And race fans are excited for the season to start, and of course, I am one of them. What say you, Senor, starting with who will be Russell's teammate this season?
That will be LCH, because it's not like he has another job to go to. He doesn't need more money, but he likes money a lot. You could bet your sweet tootsie he's going to be there, because there's a lot of jobs that go around having an LCH. All the trophy manufacturers, those beautiful cabinets have to be continued to be made. The helpers, the physios, those are big jobs. LCH doesn't want those people to lose their job, because he's a humanitarian, a lover of man, a lover of peace. He's going to do that just for that alone. The championship is meaningless. Now it's just sheer driving enjoyment. He's above all of that sports I'm number one stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
Ah, geez, this is the first time the L word was not used in this conversation. I'm shocked.
Bravo.
See, people listen when you speak, Mr. Hutton.
It's marvelous.
Okay, sir, a change is going to come. Marcin Budkowski, the Polish head honcho at Alpine, has departed. Marcin has a lot of experience in Formula One. He started at Pro's F1 team and also worked as aerodynamics at Ferrari and McLaren in 2007. A season of much turbulence at the Ron's Rooster Cage. And he used to work for Formula One before, and some are saying that's where he's headed back. And looks like departed man from Lance Stroll's family toy, Amerikanski Otmar Szafnauer, will be arriving at soon. This rumor has been going around for a while. You know, Alpine had hired this guy, Davide Brivio, from MotoGP, and he, I think, likes two wheels better than four wheels. So we will see. But this was a real surprise to me, came just a few hours ago. News that Monsieur Alain Prost also received his pink slip from Alpine. He posted on his Instagram that he is not happy, as the team had decided to make an announcement together and not leak info to F1's official website. I say, oh dear, we have history here. It was the same driver and same team, then known as Renault F1, back in the early 80s, and after the 1983 season finale in South Africa, AP was on a big old jetliner back to Paris, when in the friendly skies he was informed by a French journalist that he will not be driving for Renault in 1984. So in Formula One, the more things change, the more they remain the same. Sir, your thoughts on your fellow Francais hero being booted out?
Well, he is El Machismo, let's face it. I mean, he's a great champion with different teams and just very thought out championships. And we all love Alain Prost. It's pretty surprising. I thought he'd hang out just like Niki Lauda over at Mercedes, be hip and cool with all that history. But there was a disagreement, and, you know, sometimes the young and the old can butt heads. And all of a sudden, you know, he's going, hey, listen, I don't really know what a thumb drive is, but damn it, Fernando is El Machismo.
Yeah, you know, according to, I was reading his comment on one of the websites, he said that at the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, Alpine had made him an offer, and of course, details are not given. And it was not acceptable to him. But, you know, these things happen. He's, like you said, he's machismo. He's one of the all-time greats, and maybe time to move on. But, you know, with all due respect to him, with so many people coming and going, and the technology in motorsports today, and all these, you know, specialists for everything, I don't know if he was bringing much to the table apart from good PR and goodwill, if you know what I mean. I wish him well, and hopefully I can catch him someplace at a race and finally sit down and do the interview that I've been asking him for a while now. But we will see how that goes. Okay, sir, where is he now? free Dos Equis and Heine available for Mike Massey wherever he goes. He is the most interesting man in the Netherlands today. But some are calling for his head. Chop, chop. And now look at all these rumors. Some are claiming that Toto said Massey's departure is the only way for the arrival of LCH on the 2022 grid. On the final lap in Abu Dhabi, Toto is quoted as saying, "will never be forgotten." And he is very right on that. Mika Salo, one of the race stewards, said, and I quote, "A lot will change this season. The FIA is trying to make everything more consistent, because while the past season was definitely exciting, sometimes things that were not quite correct happen. The right lessons will be learned from all this." End quote. Now, at F1 Weekly, we like to give both sides of the story. So on the other side of the fence, we have some who see no wrong in what happened in Abu Dhabi. Not surprisingly, they include Mattia Binotto of Ferrari, Gerhard Berger, and Bernie Ecclestone. The Big E said, and I quote, "I see no reason why Michael Massey should leave his post. It would have been terrible to end that last race under the safety car. If he had, Michael would be in trouble for that." End quote. And of course, the FIA promised Mercedes that they will investigate the Massey mess, and final decision will only be made few days before the season opener. You know what is interesting? It was reported widely that FIA, you know, Jean Todt had left, so they announced their, you know, structure of the family tree of F hierarchy, and both the name of Michael Massey and Nicholas Tombassis, who is the FIA commissioner for single-seaters, apparently they were involved in making the decision that happened in Abu Dhabi. Their names were not listed. I don't know what that means. They can be listed later on. But I think something will happen with all that hoo-ha that was created. Your thoughts on this, Senor?
Well, unbelievable. I really don't give it too much thought. I'm done. I mean, I'm done with Abu Dhabi. We must move on, folks. I think dwelling on this, and we can fire Massey, but the biggest problem is now the visual is going to look terrible with the FIA coming down under pressure because of LCH, and they have to get rid of Massey. None of this is going to shuck and jive anybody. It's putting a lot of people in uncomfortable positions. And I think with the new head of the FIA, I think he's going to clean it up really fast because he's a no-nonsense, no emotions. He's going to go chop-chop, figuratively, of course.
Well, there's always a lot of politics involved in these things, but I agree with you, Mr. Rogers. We have to move on. So we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming car launches. Aston Martin announced that they would launch their car on February 10th, and the Prancing Horse will be unleashed on February 17th. Mattia Binotto said the new car development program was progressing positively, although the small matter of its name had yet to be decided. What the Tifosis are interested in is the big matter of performance. Just my personal, humble personal opinion, I think Carlos Sainz Jr. will become Spain's second Grand Prix winner this season, but I will be surprised if a Ferrari driver wins the world championship. Would you have any foresight into this, sir?
Well, it's going to be very interesting, but people are sort of forgetting that it was big news when Vettel signed with Lawrence Stroll, and went to Aston Martin. And it was a big flop in 2021. He hoped for more. But I think all eyes are on Aston Martin. Lawrence Stroll is throwing literally everything at this. I mean, they're building a whole new, quote, campus, unquote. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be better. Papa John's. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, he is going for it. So I think a lot of eyes. We know that LCH is going to be bizarre. We'll see some weird fashion shit. And we'll know Max is going to be Mr. Machismo. But a lot of eyes are going to be on Vettel. to see if this thing is gonna do something. He's a four-time world champion, and he's sort of like Fernando when he was in a certain position at Ferrari, expecting to do a lot when he didn't have a lot from the car. So it's, I still say Vettel is a big talking point at the beginning of testing, and that's what I'm going to be looking at because I know where Fernando's going to be.
Indeed. Another driver who was expecting a lot is Daniel Ricciardo. And recently he made a statement saying that, you know, he is the best driver in Formula One and for which he's getting some slings and arrows. And, you know, every driver or every sportsman has to believe he is the best to succeed in the cutthroat world of motor racing. Ricciardo made this mistake and now some are calling him delusional for placing himself ahead of Max and Lewis, pointing out that he could not handle Max as teammate at Red Bull and was outscored last season by his teammate Lando Norris. I think he was speaking his mind what he believes in and not so much as dissing the new or ex-world champion. And this is the problem in today's age of social media. You speak your mind, you make a statement, and they are coming after you. I think Daniel Ricciardo, based on his performance as teammate to Max, he was the only driver in Red Bull or a teammate of Max who has beaten him in the same car. I mean, he was much closer than Sergio Checo is. So I think this guy is good. He's just a victim of not being in the right place at the right time, like somebody else. But these things happen.
And the sad part, it happens to the great ones.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just look at Michael Schumacher when he went to Ferrari, how long it took before he won a race. And Lewis had lean years at McLaren. You know, he was there for many years, had only one championship. So what goes around comes around. That's my firm belief. Are you expecting any surprises this season, seriously, apart from Alonso winning the championship?
No, that should be the big deal. Yeah, Fernando back in the saddle again. It'll be exciting, you know, the old man from the sea showing everybody how it's done. I'm digging it. You know, they're showing vintage footage of Fernando and his steering. He had this interesting steering style when he was young, and it was blowing people's minds. They thought this man was so macho. It was crazy. I love it, but it's going to be exciting. New cars, no barge boards. I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah, me too. And I was watching Peter Windsor's on YouTube, and he was talking about Lewis and George Russell. His opinion is what my opinion was when Ricciardo went to Red Bull as teammate to Vettel, and I thought it will be in the second half that Ricciardo would start challenging Sebastian Vettel. And of course, I was very wrong on that. And that's what Peter Windsor thinks, that it'll be in the second half that George Russell will start, you know, giving some uppercuts to Lewis Hamilton. That's something that I am really looking forward to, like you're looking forward to the Aston Martin situation. What Russell did one time he drove Lewis's car was very, very impressive, no question about it. But then the question has to be asked, is rattling the cage of Valtteri Bottas same as rattling the cage of Lewis Hamilton, who has just lost a championship? So he will have a lot of new motivation to keep his numero uno status at Mercedes. But if George can do what Lewis did to his teammate in 2007, I think that will just be the perfect storm for Formula One. Because then Lewis will have the heat from one side and then even more heat from Max. So this hopefully will be a great season. There's a lot of talk about close racing, but I just have a feeling that after a few races, 3-4 races, we will have an alpha male and alpha dog and whatever, and then it will become a 2 or 3 horse race. What say you, senor?
Nico Hülkenberg came out and said it. He's been in the simulator, and he says, ha! These cars are pretty fast, and huh, yes, it'll be hard to pass. Ha! I laugh at all of you.
Yeah, well, what we don't want is going back to like 5 years ago, where one team just has a basically close to a second advantage. And that will be, especially with the season we had last year, that will be a downer, that's for sure.
I can't wait to see Fernando up front. Whew.
It'll be interesting to see. You know, when he was with McLaren and his teammate was Stoffel Vandoorne, and again, we don't know who got what in terms of equipment and all the troubles they were having, but he made a very interesting comment that I think this was after like 15, 16 races. He said that he has yet to be out-qualified by his teammate, who is touted as one of the greatest, you know, new talents in Formula One. But it'll be interesting to see if he can pounce on Esteban Ocon, assert his authority as numero uno. Do you think Esteban will roll over and play Los Muerte for him?
No, Esteban's pretty quick. Esteban's as quick as Fernando, and Fernando's admitted it. So it's a good matchup. Everybody's grown up, Nasser, and I think we're going to be just fine. Everybody understands that it's Fernando's year, and you just stay out of his way. You know what I'm talking about? It's all understood in the back room, you know?
Yeah, one battle, intra-team battle that I'm really, really interested in. Not that I'm wishing this, but that's how it's looking to me. I just have a feeling that Carlos Sainz will become numero uno at Ferrari over Charles Leclerc.
And that's when Leclerc will jump ship and go to Alpine when Fernando retires.
Well, I hope they promote this Aussie kid who won the Formula 2 championship, Oscar Piastri. Otherwise, you know, Oscar is the first Formula 2 / GP2 champion who won the championship in his rookie season and did not move into Formula 1 the following season. And machismo is in his way.
Well, you know, Formula 1 is very similar to the plumbers' union.
Leaky pipe gets the washer?
No, but it's hard to get in, you know. You got to wait till one dies.
Yeah, we will see. We will see how it goes. It will be very nice if Alpine has a package that can challenge for wins. One thing is for sure, if they have a car that is as competitive as Mercedes and Red Bull were last year, then I think Esteban Ocon may be told, Senor, you know, please step aside for numero uno.
No, they're going to say for el machismo, and then everybody will understand. And then they'll start singing that song. Toreadora, don't spit on the flora, use the cuspadora, that is what it's for.
Yeah, that's the way it goes, sir. Shall we take a break, sir, for Dasani?
Outstanding, because now I need some Ricola. So we'll be back after these brief messages.
Okay, folks, I'm here at Laguna Seca with a young, fast lady from Colombia, Ms. Tatiana Calderon. Welcome to F1 Weekly. How are you today?
I'm doing not as I expected today, but I hope tomorrow will be better.
You are now in the Star Mazda series. How challenging has been the adjustment from karting?
It was difficult because the car is just, the weight is so different and the way you drive is completely different with the gears, the braking. So it has been really difficult for me, also because this series has a really high level. So I'm learning fast and I hope I'll be in a good shape quickly. Yeah.
Are the boys behaving or giving you a tough time?
Yeah, always. I think people think this is like a boys sport, but I think it's the opposite because you have to be really clear with your head, you know, use it. And I think a girl can really be competitive, and I'm just like gaining them their respect I deserve, I think.
Very good. Now, before joining this series, did you look at other entry-level series like Formula Ford in the US or Formula BMW in Europa?
Yeah, we had those two options, but I just choose the Star Mazda because of the team. I think it's a very professional team where I can learn all what I need to be at the front. And also the series is like professional, you know, it's everything is really organized, and I just, the car is amazing, so I'm just really happy with the way I choose Mazda.
Who is guiding and managing your career right now?
Papa? Dad. Yeah, my papa. I think he's also my big sponsor, so.
Yeah. Okay, how did you develop interest in motor racing? Was it in your family, or you just decided you're going to go racing and kick boys' booties?
It was very strange because I went to a go-kart, a rental car circuit. And I just like it so much that I just went every weekend and practiced there. And then I just start racing go-karts in different categories. Also, I raced Stars of Karting here in the US, and I'm actually the only female who won the championship here. So I never expect to be here. Just amazing.
Your country has produced a lot of drivers, from Roberto Guerrero to Saavedra and what we call the Full Monty. How popular is motorsports in Colombia?
Well, after Montoya's came to Formula One, it was like much better, you know. Many more competitors in the go-karts and also in the cars, but. For example, racetracks, we only have one in the whole country, so it makes it difficult for you to really learn what you need to go like out, you know, to Europe or the US. But I think we have some young talents, and I hope to see them or to see myself in some years racing Indy or Formula One, hopefully.
If you have a choice, Formula One or Indy?
Formula One, I would choose.
Very good. Any interest in NASCAR?
At the moment, not really. I really like the Formula cars, so I want to stay that way a little bit.
Okay, you know, some years ago, there was a cat fight between Danica Patrick and Milka Duno, which was on YouTube all the time. Did you see that? And if you did, whose side were you on?
I never saw that before. It's a hard question, actually. I think Danica is really good, you know. I think she deserves a lot of respect because she was the only girl who won in IndyCar, so I appreciate that. Like.
Okay, you mentioned you're the only lady to win a karting championship here in the U.S. That must have given you a lot of boost and confidence.
Yeah, it's just the most amazing feeling you can have. It's just like the result of a hard working, you know, it was like amazing, really. So I think it gives me also, not the also confidence, but like respect from other drivers too.
Now you are with Juncos Racing, same team you had in karting. How important is the chemistry between a driver and team, and what has been their main contribution to the development of Tatiana Calderon as a driver?
I think the team is always like very important, more than the car, you know. You have to believe in what they are saying to you. And I believe they are saying me like the right things to do. They are showing me the way to go fast, and I just think it was like the best decision. I tried some other teams, but this one was just special, you know, because also we knew, as you said, from years ago. So we have that confidence with each other. So I really like this team.
Your team is based in Florida. Are you based in Florida when you were racing in the US?
No, I'm still living in Colombia because I gotta go to school. Next year I hope I'll be here because I really love USA.
What part of Colombia are you from and where do you live now?
I'm from Bogota, the capital, and I'm still living there.
Are you in touch with Senor Montoya, who is quite a character and an amazing racing talent?
Yeah, he's awesome, you know, and I knew him from our go-kart race they did in another city in Colombia. It's called Cartagena, and the race is called the Stars Race. So there were like Castro Neves and some other drivers racing go-karts, so it was very special for me because it was also when I was really young. And I think Montoya represents like a whole country, you know. So I have a really good respect from him here.
You have raced in Europe also. What is the game plan for next season if things go well for you in Star Mazda?
Well, I think I'm going to stay one more year in the Mazda because I still need to work on some aspects of my driving style, and I think this team can give me that in the series. But of course I'm also thinking in Europe maybe in 3 years, some Formula 3 racing drive. I don't know, I hope so.
Well, I follow European season very much, so I look forward to seeing you there. Finally, can you tell our listeners, we have listeners all over the world, about Tatiana Calderon, the young lady, not the race car driver? What do you like? What kind of music? What kind of food?
I always like sports. I like soccer. I like to play tennis. I'm always doing some sports. So, and I also worry too much sometimes with my grades in the school, so I don't know how to describe myself.
Okay, finally, in music, do you like Lady Gaga or Shakira?
Can I say both?
You can say whatever you like.
Yeah, you know, Shakira is represents Colombia so well. I think Shakira, maybe.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Very nice talking to you. Okay, all the best.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And today we're going to start MM with a double dose of big news from Bogota. Man from Bogota is back at the brickyard. One of our favorites, Juan Pablo Montoya, also known as Percolated Monty, will be going for his third victory in the Indy 500. And, of course, his first win was very, very impressive in 2000. As a rookie, he led 167 of the 200 laps. And in Formula One, he won races at Silverstone, Monza, and Monte Carlo, among other things. His fellow Latin fire from Brazil, Senor Elio Castro Nodash Neves, will be going for a record-setting number 5, and that will be the day. But wait, there's more news from Bogota. You know, this great racing talent, Tatiana Calderon, who was in the driver development program at Sauber, she has signed, of all the people, with AJ Foyt's team to do road and street courses, select races. So, you know, we wish everybody all the best, and we'll see how it works out. And, we interviewed Tatiana Calderon a long time ago when she was racing in Formula Mazda against Connor Daly. And Connor Daly has a full-time IndyCar ride, I believe, at Carpenter Racing. So that's good for him. And the IndyCar race will be here in St. Petersburg next month. So looking forward to it. Would you be following the racing life of Miss Calderon in IndyCar, Senor?
Yes, I probably will be. You know, I try to keep my eyes on the pulse of Motorsports Mondial, Nasser.
That's good. Okay, now we come to Marcus Armstrong. Just a few years ago, it looked like he will land in Formula One and be the next big thing from New Zealand. But then the Kiwi cut a deal with Capitol Records and performed his own version of The Thrill Is Gone, finishing 13th in each of the last two seasons of Formula 2, which is pretty pathetic. Before that, he raced in Formula 3 as teammate to Mick Schumacher and failed to deliver the championship. And now he has been dropped by the Ferrari Driver Academy. So let's see if he comes here or he's going to again continue in Formula 2. But he's a pretty quick driver. I think he should try his luck at the Indy 500 and see how it works out for him. Now, this is very interesting, Mr. Rogers. Turkish delight in Formula 2. There is this young youth. I think the name is Cem Bulukbasi. He will race in this series, Formula 2. His background is in esports, and he has been part of Toro Rosso esports team. Past few years, he has raced in European GT4 Formula Renault Euro Cup and won the inaugural Formula Renault esports series in 2020. Last season, he raced in F3 Asian Championship and won two races in the Euro Formula Open. This is basically what used to be Spanish F3. And Euro Formula races are available on YouTube live and, you know, recorded. So I watched most of those races, and the championship was won this year by this American kid from Baltimore, whom we have interviewed also few times, Cameron Das. And I was very surprised that this Turkish kid, Bulukbasi, I had never heard of him until late last year. He won a couple of races and was very impressive. So Mr. Bulukbasi, we call him Yuki Tsunoda of Turkey. Very quick and with some experience, could be a real Turkish delight. Okay, sir, now the big rally event, motorsport event of the year starting on January 1st is now over. Dakar Rally. Win number 4 for Nasser Al-Attiyah from Qatar in his Toyota Hilux. Hilux is the name Toyota uses for their pickups in overseas market. A very popular brand globally and number one in reliability everywhere as they are here in the US market. Sebastian Loeb was second. And sir, you mentioned about Pro Drive's Dave Richards saying that FIA better keep an eye on Audi or their electric cars will take over. I am not surprised those Audis did not finish in the top 5, but they were very quick and won quite a few stages. And I think that's, as I had predicted, once they come into Formula One, either as Audi or Porsche, they will take over in due course of time. Were you impressed by their performance, sir?
Well, I was impressed. You know, they're very good at electrification and getting the maximum range and horsepower out of it. Yeah, they'll be great in Formula One. They'll just be very quiet.
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay, the bike category was won by Sam Sunderland of UK. As we all know, jolly old England is a major powerhouse in motorsports, but amazingly, and this really surprised me, Sam is the only British competitor to have won any category in this event, and this was the second time he had won. The truck division was won by the Russian Kamaz team. Now, Kamaz is the Mack trucks of Moscow, even though their main factory is in Kazan, Tatarstan. This was their sixth successive win in the Dakar Rally. Now, sir, some very encouraging and good news, and I have very high regard of this young talent who did not get a shot in Formula One. Robert Wickens is back. The Canadian driver survived a near-fatal crash during the 2018 IndyCar race at Pocono. He will race again at Daytona later this month. He will be competing in the Michelin Pilot Cup Championship driving a Hyundai for Brian Herta's team, and he understands that his single-seater career is over, which is a shame. Robert is one of those talents who should have made it to Formula One. He was part of Red Bull and almost won his first ever IndyCar race here in St. Petersburg before Alexander Rossi made contact with him late in the race. Okay, sir, now we come to a moment in motorsports history. You know, last time we talked about Grand Prix racing in different parts of Arabia. So this is second and final of Grand Prix racing in Arabia. Last week we looked at Algeria and Morocco. Today we will look at action in Tunisia and Libya. Long before Yas Marina, there were Grand Prix races in the streets of Tunis from 1928 to 1937. The first two events took place at the Bardo Street Circuit. The inaugural event was won by French driver Marcel Lehu in a Bugatti. This was followed by Italian driver Gastone Brilli-Peri winning in an Alfa Romeo. In 1930, there was no race, and when it resumed in 1931, it took place at the Carthage Street Circuit, and this is the venue that is more famous. Italian Achille Varzi won three of the first four races at this circuit, twice in a Bugatti and once for Auto Union, which today is known as Audi. The Flying Mantuan, Tazio Nuvolari, won the race in 1933 driving an Alfa Romeo. 1936 saw only German success in Tunis Grand Prix, Rudolf Caracciola winning in a Mercedes. The final race in 1937 was won by French driver Raymond Sommer in a Talbot. He was a two-time Le Mans winner and was killed in a 1950 race, Formula 3 race at the Cadour Circuit, which is located near Toulouse. And Toulouse today is the home base of Airbus industry. Okay, sir, now we go to Libya. Back in the day, Libya was part of the Italian Empire and the country was known as Italian Tripolitania. It was the idea to promote the colony and bring in people from the mainland who would want to settle there that the idea of Grand Prix was born. The first Tripoli Grand Prix took place in 1925, and in 1928 the race was won by Nuvolari in a Bugatti. You know, Nuvolari raced here in the United States also at the, they used to race on Long Island, so he had come and raced here also. Talk about major names racing all over the world. For the 1933, a state-of-the-art track was built around Lake Milaha, which was like Paul Ricoeur of its time. It had a grandstand for 10,000 spectators and apparently was the first track to use starting lights. English driver for the Mercedes team, Dick Seaman, described the track as escort of motor racing circuits. The first race at this new 8-mile or 13-kilometer track was won by the Bugatti of Achille Varzi. In 1935, the Mercedes of Rudolf Caracciola took victory, and it is the winning trophy from this race that is now at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And Mr. Rogers, if I remember correctly, I was with you when we saw this trophy and the Jochen Rindt Le Mans winning Ferrari. Am I correct in recollecting memoirs?
I believe you are correct, sir.
And man, first time I saw this trophy, I was serious freeze frame. Very, very huge part of motor racing history. The winning trophy was given to Mr. Holman by Caracciola after his family took care of him following a serious crash at the Brickyard. Now, this is of very, very personal interest to me, sir. His fellow German and Mercedes teammate Hermann Lang won the race 3 years in a row in Tripoli, 1937 to 1939. And I met this gentleman at Laguna Seca at the Monterey Historics, which is one of my, I would say, probably the most memorable meeting I ever had with a racing legend. Because never in my wildest dreams would I imagine meeting a driver who raced for Scuderia Adolf. The final Tripoli Grand Prix took place in 1940 and was won by the man who 10 years later would become the first Formula One world champion, Nino Farina, on both occasions driving for the same team, Alfa Romeo. And sir, speaking of Italian influence in Africa brings us to musical mondial. Here is Signor Toto Cutugno with Africa. Thank you for listening. Please enjoy.
Good night.
You know, I never realized that a world so incredibly far away as Africa could be so close to me. Look where we are right now, on this pitiful little piece of grass, suffocated by a sea of cement, oppressed by all the traffic. Look at the people running, shouting like they've all gone mad. You know, I think I just might go back to Africa. You can never compare this noisy artificial world with the natural sounds of Africa. At times strange, mysterious, weird, almost unreal. Look into the sky and raising your arm, you can almost caress it. And you feel inside you the will to live. Your skin burns and you feel a man, more sincere. You know, I think I might just go back.